Yo.
What up? What up?
Guess who's back? back again. No, we ain't done a pod since turn of the century, bro. What's happening right now?
Bro, it's the kids, man.
Man, these kids, the man, kids got us messed up.
For those of y'all out there who got kids like us, man, you know, when the kids got the sports stuff going on, man, sometimes you gotta skip your normal stuff.
Yeah.
And take care of the kids.
Yeah, man.
But we back.
Damn it.
That's right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Coming From Ben podcast. Here's Juan and I'm Sean, and every week we get together, have a few drinks, talk about things going on in the world, try to focus on things making an impact, whether they be good, bad, or otherwise. Hit him with the drink of the day.
Listen, man, Sean came through. I was a little under the weather, and I'm going to be building wells for people in the Congo by tomorrow morning because Sean came through with Henny. Damn it, we got the juice today.
That's so, the ghetto champagne.
The ghetto hood rat champagne. We got the juice in a shaker, filled with ice, 2 ounces of Hennessy, half an ounce of Control, half an ounce of agave syrup, 3/4 ounce of lime juice. And the agave syrup, you can play with it. If you like it sweeter, you can go up to an ounce, but start at half and then work your way from there. But the half an ounce is probably okay. And then so a full lime juice, 3/4 ounce of lime juice or a full lime.
Full lime, yep.
Squeeze it. And then just shake it, pour it in a rock size full of ice, top off with ginger beer. And then garnish with a lime wheel. And this shit is amazing.
That's right. And it's called the juice. We call it the juice.
So I will say, it'll make sense here in a minute.
I will. Why? That's right. I will say this. So I stole the recipe from the Hennessy website. So I got to give them credit.
Okay.
And for those of you who have seen the latest commercial for Hennessy, they're actually mixing this drink and they're calling it like a Hennessy margarita.
Yo.
And it is the exact same ingredients, except when we did it here, we felt like something was missing.
Yep.
So if y'all listen to the pod, you know we like ginger beer. So we tried that and it hit. So we added the ginger beer on top, but the ingredients are exactly the Hennessy margarita on their website. I think as soon as you go on there, you can see it. So definitely want to give them credit for that. And we know a lot of our listeners are Henny drinkers.
I was trying to find the commercial because,
oh, it's out there, man.
I can't think of the girl's name and it's bothering me.
It's the one that goes Byron. What movie is that? Is that like a Tyler Perry movie? I feel like it's a Tyler Perry movie with like Lil Bow Wow's in there, right? Isn't Lil Bow Wow Byron?
I think so.
But it's that actress. I don't know her name either.
Oh my God.
But yeah, this drink, it's good, man. It's good. Y'all gotta try it out. Now, what I was surprised is, dude, the price point on Hennessy has risen. But you know what? Like everything else, right?
You're gonna have to back off the people from Harlem now, bro. This is why they don't have bitters, bro. They can't afford it. They have to pay for the Henny bottle.
That Henny bottle, man, with tax was like $50. And I'm like, Henny used to be like $32. What happened? Man.
There's a reason why everybody drank Henny.
I also paid like $4 for eggs the other day. So $4 for a fucking loaf of bread. So yeah, like I get it. Like
is that a lot?
$4 for a loaf of bread, bro? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not.
And I'm talking like, I don't, you know, if you, now, again, if you get like
I don't buy bread.
Petra's Farm or, you get one like the higher end brands that you're going to pay a little bit more. But if you get some, you know, some raggedy, you know, Wonder.
Yeah. No, I sound like an asshole saying that. I said that because.
No, because you don't shop.
I don't shop like that. Yeah. So I wouldn't know. I'm like, man, is that a lot? I do remember a gallon of milk going to buy one. And my gauge for a gallon of milk is when I was a teen and my mom would send me to the store. You know what I mean? And she'd send me like $2, $3 maybe.
Now it's like $4 or $5.
No, yeah. She's
I want to say it's like $4 and change.
Yeah, yeah. I remember my mom would send me to the store with $2 and a couple quarters and I'd get a gallon of milk or something like that. Yep. So I just had no idea. I don't shop like that. Like that much. And then when I do buy milk, because I don't drink enough of it, I always buy the half ones or the really small ones.
Oh, yeah.
I don't drink a lot of milk. And what I do drink is like almond milk, and that's $4 anyway.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah.
You're killing the bees.
Why? Is that, I mean, fuck them bees, bro. I also drink a lot of honey. So,
give me my almond milk.
So I'm offsetting. I'm offsetting my holocaust of the bees.
All right, man. Hit them with the color footprint.
Listen, man, this week we have none other than the juice himself, O.J. Simpson.
Hence the drink.
D Carbon Footprint. Hence the drink, damn it. The drink being a black drink is purely coincidental.
I didn't even think about that. I didn't put that together.
Really? I think about that the whole time. But yeah, man, fuck it. OJ passed away this week, which I didn't even know he was sick. But OJ.
Prostate cancer.
I had no idea. But also, yeah, I think as males is definitely something that we need to, I think we need to get into. That's something we need to be aware of, man. But especially with the stigmas and stuff behind the screening. But dude, just OJ, one of those things, man, where the infamous Bronco chase is one of those like moments in life where you remember exactly where you were, when it happened, when you were watching or when you heard about it. Or, you know, like there's very few moments like that in your lifetime. And for me, the OJ Bronco chase was one of them. And then, you know, if you go even beyond that, his run as a pro athlete in the NFL, he was elite. Like, he was great. He was one of the all-time great running backs. I mean, you're talking like, this is Saquon Barkley, you know, like to put in perspective someone today, so this is Saquon Barkley 10 years from now, you know, being accused of murdering his wife and running off in a Bronco, you know, like, and it's televised and, you know, because the chase scene was televised.
Maybe even
like,
more, bro. It was this guy. So remember, he broke Jim Brown's record. Jim Brown at the time was revered and still is by many people as the greatest running back of all time.
Right? So like, this would be like,
but you and I would probably say Barry or Emmitt,
yeah,
or
Barry
Walter
Sanders,
Payton, right? Like, you're going like, right? Like those guys. But prior to Emmitt our Smith. Generations, right? Like Jim Brown was the guy. And then of course, Jim Brown retired early, unexpectedly, very much like Barry Sanders did. Yeah. And then OJ comes through and breaks his record. And one of the things, you know, you talk about the Bronco chase. I never really understood, because when I was growing up, when I remember OJ, he wasn't playing anymore. And he was like a sports broadcaster. Or you would see
him. I don't even remember him as a broadcaster.
So, or you would see him in like a random fucking movie or something like that, right? Like, that's how I knew OJ. He wasn't a player when I was a kid. I don't know exactly when he retired, but I started watching football probably around 83, 84. And I believe he was already done by then.
Yeah.
But I never knew when the whole Bronco chase happened. I was just like, you know, obviously like everybody else, you're just like, oh shit. I was actually in Marine boot camp during that time.
So this is 94, right?
94. But, okay. Bro, I don't even know. So being in boot camp, you don't have access to any TVs or really anything. What was happening was we were getting newspapers. We had some people in my platoon that was getting newspapers. And so we were reading about this shit in the papers. And at the same time, this is the year that the Knicks went to the finals against Houston.
Oh, yeah, the Olajuwon team. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was funny, man, because I was a Knicks fan at the time, and I'm going like, oh shit, you know, like they're finally in the NBA finals. And then it was like, oh shit, but here's this OJ thing that's going on. And then come to find out, there was one of the finals games was on that day, and the shit started happening during the fucking final game, and in Madison Square Garden, the people, there was all this like chatter in the fucking people in the stadium, and people were leaving their seats and going out to where the TVs were to watch the fucking Bronco chase.
Hilarious.
So here we are, right? Like the Knicks about to, you know, could win a championship, which they ended up not winning, right? And this thing happens, and it's so big. And never really understood why it was so big. But then if you go back and look at OJ's career and the kind of guy that he was, and he was, you know, obviously he was a great football player. He was a really humble guy, right? Like at least portrayed to you know, in the media. Goes on to announce games. He's a really likable public figure.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this shit pops off, the people that remember him for what he was just like, what the fuck? Not OJ. So it just makes the story so much bigger because of we thought he was.
Dude, and then the impact he's had, like, you know, we wouldn't have the Kardashians without him. We wouldn't have.
He made reality
TV. He made reality TV what it is today.
She like, was born.
Yeah, damn it, pay homage to the king. But, dude, the...
That's an interesting take, actually, bro.
I mean, bro.
Before that, there wasn't.
Do we really think Robert Kardashian is these kids, is these girls' dad? Like, come on. There's some black in them, for sure. But, like, the obviously who he was, all that stuff, like, leading up to it. And then you get the infamous trial with Johnny Cochran and, you know, the whole glove thing. You know, if it don't fit, you must quit. And then how that just captivated us forever. Like, I remember watching that trial. And as like a 7-year-old, bro, 8-year-old, wherever I was at the time, and it was just, it sucked us all in. And then I think this is on the heels of, you know, Rodney King and the LA riots and all this stuff. And like,
that's right. And was that 92?
That happened in 92, right? So there's still this like
And this
tension.
Is 94.
Yes. Yeah. So this would be like, you know, like we get the George Floyd thing during the pandemic, like 2020. Yep. And this would be like 2 years later again, you know, this happening with a running back today. And then I think people were livid about, obviously, the verdict, but there are also people who are celebrating. But I think a lot of this had to do with, I think there was a community, like, especially people amongst the black community who just wanted to win at that time.
That was it, bro. They just wanted to win.
And I think a lot of them believed that he did it, but they were like, fuck it. We just want one of us to get off.
How many times?
Yeah.
Have we been innocent and then been convicted?
Exactly. And I think for them it was almost on principle of like, we know he did it, we just want to see him get off, allegedly. Wink wink, I don't want to get sued. Well, he's dead, he can't sue me, right? Anyway, or his estate. But yeah, there was like this passion behind the verdict where people were like, no, he didn't do it. Yeah, he did it. I think for most people, reasonable people, they feel like he did it.
Yeah,
but I think they were willing to overlook it because they felt like they had been so wrong for so long that they just wanted a win and didn't care. And I think getting a win that was obviously not right, I think made people feel a little more equal, if you will.
Right.
I think it sort of balanced the scales, even though it really doesn't. I think the feeling of, hey, we got away with one. Cool, we got to reset. You know what I mean? Like, right, it was just like, right, yeah. Right. There was a lot of layers to this, whether it was like socioeconomic, whether it was like race, whether it was, you know, like the... Obviously, there's a domestic violence component to this whole thing. There's so many layers to this. And it was, you know, there's a sports thing. It was just one of those things where I remember O.J. Simpson became pop culture, you know, across, like from every perspective,
the
jokes.
Reason,
to, yeah,
right?
From, yeah, for sure. And even, you know, we didn't even touch on him getting rearrested for the kidnapping in Vegas later on and serving the jail time for that. And just what a life, man. Like, what a life.
Dude,
like,
here's the other thing. So on his deathbed, right? Does he tell somebody, "Yeah, I did that shit"?
He don't have to, bro.
It doesn't even matter. But what's odd is that, or what's interesting is that people that came to visit him on his so called deathbed, had to sign NDAs.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So maybe he did.
So maybe right. Well, I think
I wanted it off my chest.
It's not even just that, right? It's just like anything. Right, she's like, anything he says, like, shut the fuck up. It's for your ears only.
Yeah. I didn't realize he knew sort of it. Well, I guess you do if you have prostate cancer and you're fighting. Yeah, you kind of know it's coming.
Well, I think you know that you have it, obviously, right? Do you know it's going to kill you? I don't know. I'm assuming like any kind of cancer, prostate cancer can get to stage 4 as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Man, dude, what would that have been like to be one of the people signing an NDA? You go in there. Imagine he doesn't tell you shit. You sign a whole NDA and you're like, all right, Juice, what's up? What'd you have to tell me? And he's like, the pudding in here sucks. I'd smother him to death, bro, with a pillow.
That's probably what happened. He didn't really die from prostate cancer.
He just was fucking with people the whole time. And I was like, bro, I'd be so mad if he didn't tell me nothing. But also, I feel like I know. So maybe not. Dude, like, he's the worst kept secret.
He still owes $100 million to the Goldman family.
Hey, good luck.
I guess he ain't getting that. Guess what you're not getting.
So why does he owe them money?
I think that was all from the civil.
He got found guilty in civil court, right, for killing her?
For, like, wrongful death.
Yeah.
Like, he was guilty of, like, wrongful death of, right. That's essentially saying like it was your fault that she died, but we're not saying that you killed her.
It's kind of crazy to me that you could be found innocent in criminal court and guilty in civil court.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I feel like those should hold over. I don't know. I'm sure there's a logical explanation as to why, but that I'm not thinking about
right now. Yeah, you're supposed to be able to, you know, not have double jeopardy, right? Like,
it seems strange. Damn, what? Fuck, man. Dude.
I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah. Does that, I know we've talked about this on here a little bit before. Does that make you feel better if you're Nicole's dad getting paid for your kid's death?
Ooh.
Like, I don't think that's something we want to talk about here.
I would think that it wouldn't matter, right? I would think that, you know, I think in that kind of scenario, you're just going, I want this person to somehow pay for, and not pay in monetary wise, right?
But no.
I want them to pay for my daughter's death in this case.
Right.
Now, do you get the money and you go, oh, now I'm happier now? No. I just think that you go like, okay, well, I stuck it to this guy who I know killed my daughter.
Yeah.
But no, I don't necessarily think that money makes you feel better. Now, I will say, listen, money makes life easier.
It does, man. It buys you time to mourn. And the freedom to do
and
so.
And the freedom to do, yeah. Freedom to do a lot of shit that maybe you wouldn't have been able to.
No, it's just weird. Whenever I see, not in a judgmental way, whenever I see that, who, you know, where parents have had a death of a child and there's a lawsuit involved, I just always think about what that is like, because not that they're not deserving of that, but also knowing me as a parent, and again, this isn't to say that I would or wouldn't pursue something, but it's just like, what does that do for you? You know, like that, like, does that make you feel whole? Is that like the closest you can get to justice, I guess, in your mind?
I really think it's just that. I think it's that this person needs to pay for what they did. And again, I'm not saying monetarily. So it could be jail time, right? It could be death penalty. It could be, but in this case, it could be money. You need to suffer in some way, shape, or form.
Dude, if you had the choice, say, I don't know, they put a dollar figure in it, a couple mil. Or death penalty. It'd be interesting to see what people pick.
Ooh, that is interesting.
Like, hey, man, we could kill this guy, or he could serve life in prison, and you get a $10 million payout.
No, fuck that. Or he serves 15 years, and you get... So you know he's going to get out.
Yeah.
But you get the money. Like, I don't know, the life... Because I think people would go like, oh, yeah, let him rot in jail and give me money.
Give me money.
But if you go, okay, he's going to serve 10 to 15 years, you know, like 15 years is a sentence, but he's going to get off at fucking 9 for good behavior.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you get paid.
But you get paid. Toughy, man.
That is. And obviously in those situations, right, the emotions come into play, because you'll get somebody that'll be like, fuck this guy, kill him.
Yeah, but also you're not guaranteed. Maybe the option is like, yo, we go for the death penalty in the trial, but it's not guaranteed. Or maybe it is. Maybe you just go, hey, he's found guilty. You get a vote on the punishment. And yeah, but
that's not how it goes, right? The judge
The judge makes a decision. But what if you left it up to the victim's family and you just say, hey, he could pay a fine, or the state will pay you and he has to repay whatever. You figure out the economics. But we can give you a $15 million payout, $10 million payout, whatever. Or... you know, life in prison, but the $15 million comes with, oh, he only does 10 years or 15 years or whatever.
And then if you take the money, are you an asshole?
Yeah, you definitely are. But I'm going to tell you right now, I want all the smoke. So I'm taking the money and I'm waiting outside the prison.
Yeah, but then why?
On 14, 364.
Yeah, but then in that case, right, you better blow all that fucking money.
Oh, I would have. Time,
right? You better blow all that shit. And then
you ever watch Law Abiding Citizen? Remember that movie, Law Abiding, with Gerard Butler and Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, that dude had the fucking game plan of a lifetime, bro.
That is very similar to how I go, I would think about some shit like that if it happened to my family.
Yeah.
It was funny because when I saw the movie, the way that he planned it out. Oh, fucking impeccable. When I saw that movie, I went, oh, it's like this guy's in my head.
Who wrote this movie?
Who wrote this movie? My man, I'm good. I didn't even think I put it out there like that. But it's, yeah. Yeah. That's a fascinating one. But it is interesting because you go, man, you could serve life in prison. And because my beef with death penalties and all that stuff is like, I'll see all the time now with some headline where it'll be like, prisoner to be executed today in Arkansas. And it'll be like, for the murder of so-and-so in 1982. And I'm like, 40 years ago, bro?
Yeah, right.
And we're executing them now? Like, it's pointless. It's like, to me, some of these other countries got it right. They'd be like, they do the trial and you get executed,
they take
like
you outside
that day.
And shoot you.
Yeah. I'm like, that's different. It's more imminent. And I'm not making the argument for or against because I know there's, you know, reasons or whatever. We have appeals. I'm just saying that the punishment doesn't feel as severe when it's like death penalty, when you get to live out 40 years and some of these guys die out before they're executed anyway.
Yep.
Like, it just doesn't feel like a punishment.
Yeah, it feels like a waste of tax.
It feels like a waste of tax. It does. I'm keeping you alive for X amount of time. At some point, we'll get around to killing you. And it's never in less than a decade or two. Never. Like, it's always people are in death row for 20 years plus, and then they get killed. And I'm like, well, what the fuck? What if you kill somebody at 60? He's probably begging to die at 80. Like, he's like, bro, I'll inject myself. Like, let's go.
You got an extension cord?
For real. Leave me alone. Look away. Turn off the camera. Like, let me Epstein this shit real quick.
Dude, you know what's funny, man, is that you saying that. You ever seen the movie Arrival? I know I've been telling you to watch it.
I haven't. I know you. Yeah, and I do have it on my queue, man. I haven't gotten around.
All right,
yet,
man. I'm going to try.
Spoil it.
I'm going to try not to, man.
Nah, do it. Fuck it.
But, you know, the whole thing with like kids, where you just go, if your kid died, right? Like, you know, would you pick this or that, right? Death penalty or money. If you knew your kid was going to die, would you still go through with having the kid?
Well, you mean die, like when he was going to, and it was like at a young age, because you know they're going.
Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you knew that your kid was going to, sorry, I got to set that up better. If you knew your kid was going to die at, we'll call it, you know, fucking 15.
Okay.
So before
they're born.
Before they're born.
Okay.
You know that your kid's going to die at 15.
Okay.
Do you still go through with having the kid?
Man, and do I have the memories of that kid being around?
But that's it. So like, I think that is the, I think that right there, which is the premise of, it's not the premise, but it's part of this movie of Arrival, is the woman in the movie has awe. So she can sort of see into the future. She has the memories of the kid. And I thought about this when I'm watching the movie and I go, yo, if somebody would come up to me and say, yo, you're going to have a, you know, I don't have a kids yet. You're going to have this kid and they're going to die at 15. I think my first thought is that's tragic.
Yes, that is my
first. I don't want to have that.
Absolutely.
Now, in this scenario, in this movie, this woman, she already, even though it hasn't happened yet, she already has all of the memories.
Yeah, in that case, I couldn't.
She knows the kid.
I would let it go forward.
You have to, yeah. Right. And the shit is that she ends up, so at the point of the movie that she already has all these memories, she's not even married yet, bro. So not only is she going to bring this kid into the world, she's also going to bring along this guy that has no fucking clue of what's going to happen. Oh. And she doesn't fucking tell him.
And she can't. Oh, my God. Yeah, because knowing that. Yeah, I would say if I already have the memory, then yeah, of course I let it move forward because I know, you know, I'm thinking about,
you
like,
know,
my
the
relationship
person.
With my kids now. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
You know the person. Are you going to go, I'm going to give this person a chance to live, even if for 15 years, because we're going to have 15 amazing years.
However,
whatever,
if
right?
I don't know them at all, yeah, I'm not moving forward. Mm-hmm. It really does change if I have, obviously, the memory. Yeah, yeah. Man.
That's nuts. You know, because, and I know that, you know, you and I have a mutual acquaintance that recently lost a child. And it's like, I hope that they're grateful, and I'm sure they are. I'm hope that they're grateful and happy for the time that they had, because their life wouldn't have been enriched without him being here for that time.
Dude, we have two in that same
really
in that same circle. Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you who off air, but there was another person at Turco who had, while we were there, lost their child in like a car accident. Like early adult years, child, like let's say late teens, maybe early 20s.
That sounds familiar. I can't.
But also yeah. Very heartbreaking, you know, obviously yep. also. It's weird, bro. Kids are weird. I have a, so one of my uncles lost a baby. Like he had a child that was born, you know, odd circumstances. I won't get too far into it, but essentially the baby passed as an infant.
Okay.
About a week into its life. Got so it. I think it lived a week. I could be off on that, a few days, but I met the baby. I got to see the baby. I went to the hospital, met this baby, went to the NICU, saw it, you know, obviously we were all still hopeful at that time. Like we kind of knew it was up against some odds and we were kind of hopeful they would pull through.
Once they're born, you go like, you know, like I think that the thought is, you know, they're here, they made it out. They're going to, the people that in that hospital are going to, they know what the fuck they're doing and it's going to pull through.
He'll pull through. And the baby did not. Right. And so one of the first funerals I've ever been to in my life, I've been very fortunate, man, I say fortunate, but also very weird about death. I think we talked about this on here. I don't go to a lot of funerals of, and so this is, I couldn't not go to this, right? So because I wanted to be there. But one first funeral I've ever gone to, mind you, this is a baby we've never met, right? Like people have never met. Obviously you have parents who've gone through, you know, you had a mom who went through this baby in the womb and stuff. All of us saw this baby in a NICU. We don't have like a relationship. Devastating. One of the most heartbreaking things I've ever seen in my entire life, man. It was gutting. And I remember my daughter was born in the same hospital, and my daughter had my daughter's premature, you know, some other stuff, and she was and they, you know, took her up to the NICU, to the unit. And I remember I went up to the room, to the NICU, and they're like, hey, you can go see her now, you know, she's in a NICU bed, you know, she's fine, she's stable, you know, nothing life threatening, they thought. But she was in the same spot that I remember visiting my younger cousin in. Same exact spot, same exact room, same exact thing. And I walked into the room
and heart-wrenching,
and it fucking gutted me, bro. I walked into the room and I got chills and a thing. And I looked at the nurse and I went, move her. And the nurse was like looking at me and she's like, hey, no, it's just, I'm like, you need to move her out of this room like now. And she must've thought I was a crazy person, hindsight. And then she was just like, no, but, and she's trying to talk me into the thing. And I remember like stopping her going, you need to move her out of this room like now. And she just kind of looked at me, was like, okay. Yeah. And, you know, they wanted to
move
her.
Did they have some other place to put
her? Yeah, they moved her into like a thing. But it was that like weird feeling.
You never explained it to the nurse?
I think I did. I did. Okay, I told her later on, like, hey, like, and she was like, oh, and you know, she kind of gave me the look like
that would have, that would have helped.
She's like, you know, we thought we were just freaking out because we get parents. And I think in her mind, like I thought I was being crazy. And obviously I'm sure she thought I was too, but also I think they deal with that so much.
Yes.
Because again, you're in an ICU ward for babies.
It's an emotional thing. Time, yeah.
And you know, my daughter's fine now and all this stuff. But I just remember that feeling of there, and it was odd, man, because kids are, you know, like you get this attachment to kids very quickly. Again, like, you know, this is my younger cousin, we hadn't spent time, like he didn't spend like holidays with us, he hadn't been around and doing stuff. It was still such a gutting experience, right? Because you just don't look at children like that, at babies like that. And so when you're telling your story, I'm like, no, do I have the memories? Like, no, I have to deal with the heartache of it anyway, because in my mind, if I have the memories, I'm already dealing with the heartache that person doesn't exist.
Right.
And so I might as well let that sort of carry out, because I also know the cool things that they're going to do. I also know the fun they're going to have. I also know. Yeah. So you have to let that.
So knowing that you had those memories,
mm-hmm.
when you meet the woman that you're going to have the child with.
Yeah.
Do you tell her?
No. No.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
But if you're on the other side of that, like, don't you want to know? Maybe you don't.
No, you know what? I don't know.
Maybe you don't.
That's really a night.
But then aren't you really fucking pissed if you find out later?
Because if you, for sure. But I think if you know that, then how you live your life through that experience changes significantly, mm-hmm. right? Then you're always on edge. Then you're waiting for that moment. Then you're thinking you can change it. And I think it takes away from you being present and enjoying. Like, in my mind, I'm thinking, if I tell you, that's how you're going to be. If I don't tell you, you're going to, you're going to, you know, paint the eggs with them on Easter and do that and do the egg hunt and all that stuff. Like if life is normal and that's what that baby deserves, or, you know, that child deserves. And
right.
You know, that, you know, the Christmas, you're going to be normal and that's what that child deserves. Like, that's why. And for me personally, I'm also a very much a let me shoulder that burden person. Like if I know, I'm not the kind of person that needs the company and the misery. Like I'm like, I can take that on and then just let you be oblivious to it and have a good time with it. So yeah, I think for me, like I wouldn't even have to think about that. I just wouldn't say anything. But to your point, I would be livid the other way
around. The other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be fucking
pissed. I don't know that I'd be pissed that they didn't tell me.
I would be.
I don't know that, yeah, like, I don't know that I'd be pissed that they didn't tell me, but I think I would understand why they didn't tell me, but yeah, I guess I would rather know.
Yes, I think that if you explain it, right, you go like, okay, well, I get it why, but I would have rather not gone through this experience, you know, had I not known the child. If I don't have those memories, I would choose not to go through that, and you didn't give me that choice.
But I also think, and man, this is the human nature. That's you picking the easy choice of not going through that emotional experience.
Agreed.
And so, you know, I don't know, man, for some of us, we need to feel that. We need to go through stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough, man. Dude, especially with kids, man. Like I get, you know, accused all the time of being pretty cold-hearted and aloof.
You too?
Yeah. And admittedly, I can be, but there is something, man, to me, like kids and old people, man, like I do have a soft spot for that. So like, yeah, like I think I joke about this shit all the time. Like the things that'll set me off all the time will be like the you know, fucking Make-A-Wish kids on a Sunday on ESPN. Those are the fucking shows that break me down. But like there's something about that. I don't know what it is, man. It's like I don't know if it's the innocence. I don't know if it's the not wanting them to be able to fulfill, or, you know, there's that naivety and that innocence that comes with kids where they're just so happy about shit that you're like, I don't want to take that away from you. That's a weird one for me, man. I always want kids to go like, I think, and I tell this to my kids all the time. You have this finite amount of time to be a kid. And it's very, very short in comparison to the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Right? Like you have, let's say 14, 15 years that we'll treat you like a kid. And then after that, we start treating you, quote unquote, like an adult because we're preparing you for the real world. And then after that, you're in the real world and you're a fucking grown up. And
forever.
You have to deal with all the stresses that come with that forever, right? Like for 80 years, if you're lucky, you know, past that. But you only get this like little tiny, you know, 12 to 15% of your life to be a child. And it's the most, I think, stress-free time for most, hopefully, right?
Yeah,
it's the most stress-free time. It's full of curiosity. It's full of wonder. It's full of heartbreak. It's full of, you know, like stuff. And like, you want kids to experience that. And so I think understanding that, it would suck for me not to let someone live that.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I would be mad and I'd be a hypocrite in that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, and you know, it's funny, man, you said that. So I have one of my sons, he's very aware. So I have twins, 17 years old, and one of them is like really aware of that his childhood's going away and already feels like he's a old kid, and is sad that. I shouldn't say he's not a sad kid. So I want to be clear about that. But the fact that childhood is going away makes him sad,
dude. I get that, like.
But I wasn't that way at his age.
No, I think I was.
But I get it.
Yeah.
I get it from, you know, when he explains it to me, you know, I'm just like, oh yeah, that does kind of suck. And then to add to this, man, and this is for the rest of you guys too. This weekend, man, I got to see your kids for the first time in close to a year.
Yeah.
I did not know the impact that I had on seeing them on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely.
To then cold turkey, like not seeing them for whatever, 10 months, right?
10, 12 months. Yeah, yeah. I think it was last year in April.
Oh, wow. So that has been, so it's
that
been a year.
You, well, no. Or maybe close. Not. Maybe 10 months. Yeah.
But it's close.
Yeah.
The point is, and this is what I want the rest of you guys out there to listen to, is like, when you are around people, you have an impact on their lives. And when you leave their lives, like, that shit matters. It matters more than what you know. And I was a sort of awakened to that this past weekend. And it was just an eye opener for me, man. It's just like, fuck, man, I didn't know that I was loved like that. You know what
dude,
I mean?
Dude,
like
my
that?
Kids, the bro, when I tell you they were looking forward to that all day, yeah. I mean literally waiting at the window, checking cars were coming. When people started showing up to my house, you know, like to watch the fight and stuff, like the kids were like, oh, Sean's coming, you know, like, and they were, and they call you Mr. Sean, so they're like, Mr. Sean's coming. And, you know, they're watching the window and their thing, and they were like ecstatic to see you. And it's weird, man, because even for me, like, obviously I hear them ask about you all the time, but like, you know, like kids are kids, so you just never know like how impactful, again, how they think of it. But like then seeing them interact and then seeing how they like constantly ask about you, and I can just see their demeanor and I know what they're normally like. I was like, oh, wow, this is really meaningful to them, like seeing them. Dude, and then, man, like shout out to your boys, because like my kids, like my daughter's like me. She'll talk your ear off and you want to tell her to shut up. And she could drive you nuts. And then my son, although he's my quiet one, when he's excited about something, he just wants to tell you about it, and he wants to tell you everything about anything. And your boys were so patient with them and so thing. And I think for them, especially my boy, that means a lot to them, because they're just kind of like, oh shit, like the, you know, the cool old kids are listening to me and they're spending time with me and all that stuff. And it was cool to see them interact, man. I was just telling you before, like even talking to your boys, I was like, oh my God, this is like talking, this is a good Hank. Like this is like talking to
they
two
are, man. They're
young
good
men.
Hangs. Yeah.
And yeah, shout out to you guys, man, because they've done, they're such good boys, such, you know, like so well-grounded. Because again, like they could have been assholes to the kids and they weren't, I'm sure they wanted to be, and they weren't. And just talking to them, you're like, wow, man, you guys are going to be grown up soon. And for me, it's just a punch in the gut, because I've known them since they were literally infants. Like I've, you know, seen.
Yeah, you. Though you and I have been friends since the first year of their life.
Yeah. So it's just like weird to see. And like you said, like you just don't realize like the way my kids were asking about you and then dying for you to get there. And even talking about your boys who they've seen less, like they saw you all the time. They didn't necessarily see your boys more, but like they were really excited to see them. And
yeah, and had a few interactions with them.
Yeah. And it was just like you said, you just never know, man, like people come into your life. And I think we take for granted, especially if it's a routine. I think it's easy to take the routine for granted.
Absolutely.
And then not realize like how much you look forward to that or how much you want to do. Because I can tell you right now, like, you know, my daughter, like showing you all her artwork.
Yep.
There's been numerous times where she'll be like, take a picture, show it to Mr. Sean. Right. And I'm like, yeah. And I'll take the picture of the thing and I probably won't send it to you. And I'm like,
he's such an asshole.
Because, yeah. And I'm also conditioned so fucked up that I think that's just a thing that people say. And you forget that kids are like, no, they don't have that yet.
Yeah.
Like they mean that. You know what I mean? Like, you know how we are. Yeah, you know how you run
they're
into
actual
someone?
Humans.
Yeah. You know how they're like real people. They're honest though. Like, you know how you run into people. You're like, we should really get together, but you don't mean that shit. Right. Like, you don't want to get together. There's a reason why you haven't seen each other. Right. Right? And you're like, yeah, we should get together. It's been a while. And you're like, nah, there's a reason it's been a while. Like, I just assume everyone operates that way. You forget kids don't have
kids
that yet.
Though, nope.
They're not jaded yet. And they ask about you all the time. It was like, oh, man, maybe I should make it a point. But it was cool to see, man. It's like you said, you just don't know. And it was really fun for me to like interact with your boys and talk to them. And I found myself like laughing internally going like, this is wild. Like and I'm looking at them going like, they're little men. Like they're like,
yeah, bro.
It's crazy, man.
Going a long way, man.
Yeah.
And they were also excited about seeing you. They had not seen you in a while. Like they keep talking about coming here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so like, I gotta bring them over here too, man. But they were also excited, man. So good to see. And again, for you good people out there, fucking, if you have seen people, if you are in people's lives and then you suddenly leave and you think that no one cares, it's not true.
No. Yeah. No, man. And I'm glad, I'm really happy. You know, obviously it's up to us to like do something about it, but I'm really happy that like sort of happened, because it did. Like, I'm glad you had, you know, we're talking
about
it.
It's an eye opener, bro.
It is. It's an eye opener. Like, I'm glad you did, because I left there thinking the same thing, going like, oh, wow, like, I didn't realize this was that meaningful to them.
Right.
And then I think about the interactions I had as a child or the people that I still sort of like, you know, like have a love for and I have this endearment for. And I'm like, oh, wow, like that's you're that to them. You're just like you're a family to them. So they're just kind of like, oh, they're like, why haven't we seen them in a while? And it, again, for us, I think it's easy to be dismissive of it. And you think they're just, you know, they're doing, again, what we do to people, like try to be cordial, like, oh, yeah. Like, I miss you, man. Like, hope I... But they actually meant that.
They mean it.
Yeah. It was cool. They don't have that yet. They haven't been trained yet. They're still good people.
All right, man. Let's move on, bro. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark this week, number one pick in WNBA draft, $338,000 contract, about $54 million.
She broke
off of what Wembanyama got in the NBA, about 54. He got 55 mil.
Over how many years? Four years?
I think it's like 4 or 5.
Yeah, so her contract's 338, you said, over 4 years?
338. I don't know the year.
I think it's 4 years.
Is it 4 years?
Yeah.
I was, you know, when I first saw that, I go, oh, 338 a year? That's great.
No.
Like, I mean, it's not great for professional but NBA sports.
It would have come a long way for
but
WNBA.
Yeah, if it's 338 per year, like, that's phenomenal for... Listen, anybody would love to have that salary, but it's not. It's 338 over what? 4 years?
4 years.
Which is what?
75. No, I guess it's 80,000 a year, right? Is that right?
It would be
85 grand 80, or whatever.
80, yeah, a little over 80 G's. Yeah, that's not good. Now, with Caitlin Clark's popularity,
her endorsements and yeah.
So it's the 338,000 for the 4 years. And she gets an apartment and a car paid for.
Oh, she does?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Apartment and a car paid for. Essentially, you know, like you said, $80,000+, but then she gets tax, plus you get, yeah, right. The apartment, hopefully it's a nice apartment.
She's at like 60 G's net. Which is wild.
It is for somebody with that kind of popularity, and you figure she's going to make it up in endorsements.
Yeah.
She probably shouldn't have to.
But, dude, you think about her teammates? She's one of the fortunate ones.
Oh,
the
absolutely.
Rest of her teammates are living on 30, 40, 50 grand a year. And I'm sure there are people listening to this who are going like, that's good enough. That's not a lot of money, bro.
I don't know where you live. But
dude, 30, so let's say 50 grand a year. It's $25 an hour full time.
Yep.
Ish, about.
Ish, yeah.
That's not a lot of money. And sure, you could say, hey, to play a game or whatever, yada, yada. There is a cost, I think, when you're in that. Dude, there's a word for it. Like, there's sort of a cost to being who you are.
Yeah.
Like, based on position and levels and whatever.
And there's scrutiny behind it.
Yes, absolutely. Like, you're a WNBA player. The circles you're in, the events you're in, the things you're going to get invited to. Now, listen, again, they're not starving. Like, there's a lot of favors and there's a lot of endorsements, a lot of this and that. But there's also, they have to maintain a certain lifestyle because of who they are. To that 50 grand doesn't even go far, you know, in terms of like how that 50 grand would go to a family just working normal 9 to 5s,
right?
Like it's just because they have extra expenditures that you would sort of have to upkeep because of the line of work that they're in. Also, and I know people talk about like the gap, the pay gap in sports, but this is also very indicative of the amount of money that the WNBA brings in, right? Like, I think
absolutely.
I think if they could have given her 338 a year, they would. They just can't.
They can't.
And maybe. She might be the reason they can.
Right.
Right. Caitlin Clark could well possibly be the athlete that in the WNBA that ends up bringing it over this threshold. You know, she's already sold out of the jerseys, which I've never heard of.
Oh, is that right?
WNBA.
They sold out. Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, good for and her, maybe it's man. Happened before. Listen, I don't watch a lot of WNBA. But yeah, I've never heard of a WNBA player selling jerseys out, and she sold them out in every size.
Dude, the last two games that she played in, mm-hmm. or the last two or three games, were like the highest rated basketball game ever, you know, on ESPN.
And so she might be the player. You know, we were talking last week where I was saying that, like, or 2 weeks ago, like, the WNBA, or sorry, college basketball women has always had superstars, and it never translates into the WNBA. And she might be the one.
Yeah.
Like you were saying that before. And I think you're right. Like she might be the one that is must watch TV. She might be the one that finally breaks through. She might be, you know, the one that finally gets more eyeballs. Now, does that mean they make $338K a year? Hopefully. But if it goes from 85 to 150, it's still a win for the women's game, right? And so, you know, I think we can't deny how impactful she's going to be. You know, obviously she's super talented and all that. And you know, you root for her to succeed. And it's not that you don't want to see them make the money that you think that they should get. But, you know, it's like everything else, man, like supply and demand and the economics and all that stuff.
Dude, I tell you what, man, it's all about the eyeballs.
Yep. And so if people watch, they will get paid.
That's right.
If you guys are upset about it, watch the game.
That's it right there, bro. If you are upset that the women's game gets paid so much less, go fucking watch the game.
And go buy a jersey.
Whether it's buying tickets or watching it on TV, go buy the merch. Like, support them. Mm-hmm. And then they will get paid more. Now, it's going to take them years to catch up. And they may never catch up to the men's game. But it's not really about that, right? It's just about putting them in a better position. So if you want to support them, definitely turn the fucking TV on, watch the games, buy the merch, buy tickets, go to the games live. That's how you support these women.
Absolutely. Like, whenever I hear people complain about them, I'm like, when's the last time you bought a WNBA jersey?
Yeah,
when's
never.
The last time you watch a game? Never. Yep. And so if you want to change that, then those are the things you can do.
Yep.
Watch the game, buy a jersey, buy merch, whatever. And we will pay them what they deserve based on the amount of revenue they generate. And I think it's that simple.
You know, you made a comment to me when I was like, hey, like, are you watching this game? I think we were texting back and forth. And I was like, you watching this game? And you turn it on. You're like, like, I hate you. And then you go, oh, I just sort of missed a layup. I'm not watching this. But it's funny, man, because if I think about the women's game of what it was, And it still probably is a lot of layups, right?
Yeah.
However, the Caitlin Clarks of the world, and she's not the only one, putting in, like, this chick can shoot from wherever on the court.
Yeah.
And that is watchable basketball.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the Steph Curry sort of effect of basketball. I think it was my brother I was talking to this weekend about this. And in the height of sort of, I was coaching sort of like high school age basketball for a time there, like my brother's team. And all, yeah. And I remember at that time, JJ Redick was, I don't know if you remember, JJ Redick was a stud in college.
Oh yeah.
Just most hated man in the country, but balled out.
Was he on Duke?
Yes.
He was. Yeah.
So Duke, so already a hated school.
Correct.
You know, he was an amazing player. Just all stuff. I mean, JJ Redick could ball. And I remember at the time talking to parents on the teams that I was coaching and the argument. You know, and I would tell the boys, like, hey, well, you know, watch basketball. You know, yeah, watch college, watch some NBA. And I would tell them, like, things to look for. And I remember getting into discussions with a lot of people at the time, you know, especially some of the parents, about why they prefer college because the NBA didn't play defense and they didn't try and this and that. And I remember just telling them, going, no, it just doesn't look like they do. And then they were like, no, they don't play D. And I go, no, the 5'10" kid in college is running his ass off to close out, you know, because he's 5'10" and he's got to hustle and he's not as athletic. I'm like, Kevin Durant takes two steps, or whoever it was at the time. It probably wasn't Kevin Durant, but I'm like, takes two steps and puts a hand up and he's there. Like, all you need to look at is JJ Redick was dropping 40 a game at Duke. He can't even create his own shot in the NBA. He has to come off a screen or has to catch and shoot. Otherwise, he can't even create his own shot in the NBA. I'm like, that tells you how much defense these guys, like, they're just so good. It looks effortless. It doesn't, like, I go,
that's
now
it
listen,
right there,
the
like
intensity in playoff basketball obviously gets heightened, but it just looks so easy because these guys are that athletic. I'm like, you're talking about wingspans that go 7 feet. You're talking about, you know, guys who are 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", who move like point guards. You're talking, you know, like, and they just kept giving me shit about how, like, the college game was just so much more pure and this and that. I'm like, you have no idea just how good these NBA guys are. It just looks like it's easy. And that's why you don't think they're trying.
Dude, it's like that with everything, man. When you have somebody that is just so good at what they do, and especially when you're watching stuff on TV, you know, we as fans, I don't care what kind of sport it is, you know, we can sit back and criticize guys for misplays or whatever. Like, the shit that these guys are doing, it's hard.
Oh, bro, I'd be on my couch eating Doritos, criticizing these guys all the time. I'd be like, you missed the layup, you bum, knowing full well I couldn't have a layup and transition in the NBA.
It is, man. It's hard. So, you know, kudos to those guys. Kudos to Caitlin Clark and all of the women that got drafted in WNBA draft, man. I hope this is like a, you know, because of the popularity of the college games, I hope this translates well into the WNBA and it continues to grow.
Yeah, me too, man. I get a lot of shit, and it's funny because you're like, you'll text me. A lot of people text me. Listen, I have a daughter. I don't want to be misogynistic in women's sports. Y'all forced me to be this way. Damn it. I want to like it. I want to tell my daughter that she could be just as good as Steph Curry, and I want to mean it. So... So damn it, watch some games and buy some jerseys.
Bro, did you see the supposed end of the world this past week,
fucking
man?
Solar eclipse. Bro, I want my money back. That shit was so disappointing.
Actually, man.
Oh my god.
I mean, I know you will. I mean, we're in the same area, right? So
yeah.
I watched it through the, you know, the 3D glasses.
Yeah, I did too.
I think I ordered like 10 of them for like $6 on Amazon.
But it feels like you're watching some shit on TV that you could have just made up if you got to look at it through glasses.
But I took some, so with my fucking Samsung, like I have the old one, S21 Ultra.
Yeah. It's bro, got a great camera though.
That shit, bro, I was seeing I caught sunspots.
Yeah,
on the camera, so it was dope.
Mine wouldn't capture nothing through the glasses. I tried, bro. It was horrible.
You don't know what you're doing, God.
I don't know. Clearly not, bro. My shit was like, nope.
But bro, so a couple of funny things that happened with me was, well, first of all, Florida, or as East Central Florida, I'm assuming the entire state, we only got like 55% coverage, so we were not at the 100% or even near the 100%.
And it didn't get dark here or whatever that was supposed to be.
No, but it did get darker.
Did it though?
Yes, I positively fucking definitely did, bro. It was actually like I was outside watching, so I'm looking up, and then when it got to that halfway point, I took the glasses off and just kind of looked around, and I was like, yeah, like it looks weird outside.
I was like, it ain't darker here than it is when it rains.
It's funny that you say that, man. One of our listeners, man. Shout out to Dave. Dave and Gail, I think they're over in like the Tennessee area.
Shout out, Dave.
He was supposed to get close to 100%.
Oh, word!
And it was fucking clouds. But if you know this guy, I go like that's so Dave.
Oh, Brad.
Right? Like. But I was laughing. He posted on Facebook, and he was like, oh man, this is not. This looks just like a fucking, you know, rainstorm in Florida, because he's actually from here.
If you wouldn't have told me that was happening, I wouldn't have noticed.
No, and you wouldn't, bro.
Me think of the people like, you know, 100 years ago when they were just outside. Did they even know there was a solar eclipse happening? And if like, how did we have the time?
If you had 100%, you would know.
Well, yeah, because it got dark. But if you're in Florida. Dark.
No,
and then, yeah,
you wouldn't know.
No,
I will say this, man. My dog, so I have a dog that's really sensitive to weather changes, thunder,
really
shit like that. Yeah, and it's my big dog, fucking bear.
So what does he get? Yeah. He gets like angsty.
He doesn't like it. Yeah. He's looking for me. He wants to be right by me, and it's almost like he's going, bro, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
can we go to a place where this is not happening?
And he reacted to the eclipse?
So he wouldn't go outside.
Really?
Yeah, it was fucking strange, bro. Like, I had to, like, coach him outside, and then he finally came out, but acting really fucking strange.
He's like, nah, bro, the fireball in the sky is acting weird. I'm out. Nope. That's crazy.
Yeah, so that was fucking nuts, man. But it was cool, man. I will say this, bro. Even with those glasses,
yeah,
because I looked at it so much and took so many pictures and whatever, dude, my eyes felt strained afterwards. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know.
We did from the time that it started until it was like at the 55%.
You just stared at it?
No, but like, just off and on.
I said, you the reason why they kept having those commercials. I stared at it. Not stared, but yeah, I looked at it for a few minutes, but yeah, I don't know.
I kept coming back out to see like, okay, more. You know, so I kind of took, and I took a bunch of pictures and stuff.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I was like, that was it? Like the whole 20-year thing? And there was like counties here canceling school and shit. And
really?
Yeah, there for was what? Like, because you could look up, I guess, and get your eyes damaged, or I don't know, man.
You can get your eyes damaged by just fucking looking up on I think you know, tomorrow.
More. I go, yo, yeah, I just wouldn't have said there was a solar eclipse. You think these kids are paying attention to that shit? They'll find out on TikTok, man, that afternoon when they get home, and then it's their parents' fault. They're
both. And no, like, you can't, if you look up at it with the naked eye, you can't see it.
No.
Especially when it's it's not full, right?
I couldn't tell.
If it's not full, you can't tell.
I couldn't tell shit until I put the glasses on.
Yeah.
It looked like a normal. Yep. Tuesday to me or whatever it was.
But like I said, once it got to the halfway point, it looked weird outside. I would say that's the way I would describe it. Okay.
Yeah. I was like super disappointed for sure.
I will say I do want to go somewhere where it's 100%.
Yeah, I want to see it get dark in the middle of the day. Like,
yes.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. I think that shit would be cool.
Yeah. And I've seen,
I'm sure some people's experience is wild. Did you see Charles Barkley's reaction to that shit?
No.
On Pat McAfee?
No.
Do yourself
so
a favor.
Was he in a place with 100%?
I don't know, but he was like, there was a comment, I guess, of people who were in the 100% saying that it was like life-changing and it was like once in a lifetime experience and everything. Charles Barkley goes, what a bunch of losers. You know, if the solar eclipse was the thing that your day is like, you're a fucking loser. You got to watch the clip. It's so funny. It's so on brand for Charles Barkley.
Yeah, I don't know that it would be life changing. However, I do feel like it's something that I want to see it.
Dude, I would say because of you, when I look up at the sky at night and there's like a bunch of stars and shit.
Oh, yeah.
No diddy. I'd be like, I'm like, oh shit, I think that's Venus or, you know, fucking Jupiter or whatever. Yep. And it's because of you. Because I know how much you'll point shit out. And I now see stuff and I'm like, oh, that's so and so. One of my kids asked me the other day. And I'm like, how you know? I'm like, Sean told me. No, that's the North Star. I'm like, nah, that's, you know, what is like Jupiter, I think it was. And they're like, no, it's not. I'm like, okay. What Sean said, man. Blame him. Don't get on me.
Yeah, man, that's true. Like, there's two like bright stars in the sky, and it's usually Jupiter and Venus. Venus is fucking big.
It's huge.
Yeah,
but again, I didn't know I was looking at that shit. Yep. You pointed it out.
You'd be like, and then I was like, that must have been a North Star.
Yeah, and then I was like Googling shit. I'm looking at the constellations map, and I was like, oh shit, he was right. was
like, the one that you can't tell, Saturn. Like Saturn, you need like an app to know where it is because that shit looks like every other fucking star in the sky.
That shit was funny. And they're like, are you sure about that? I'm like, almost positive. My resident astronomer on the podcast. No.
Yo, how we doing on time?
Dude, we're right. We're 59 minutes. So,
oh shit.
We ran through that shit.
We sure did. Do we want to get on the Florida shit?
Yeah,
and when it was ended with the Florida shit.
Florida's been wilding, bro.
Well, this is partially Florida. We should say the police thing.
Let's get. Oh, good point. Because right? The other one is in Florida. Yeah,
it's the police thing.
So start it off. Which I know this clip is older of this guy saying this, right?
Like, I don't know how old this is. Okay, bro. So y'all gotta listen to this. I gotta pull it up right now. Florida, you know we crazy over here.
Mm-hmm.
But this Florida dude or this Florida police officer basically got condone killing people that enter your house.
That tells me that it's a resource issue, bro. All right, well, save money on bullets.
Listen up.
We don't know which homeowner shot at him. I guess they think that they did something wrong, which they did not. If somebody's breaking in your house, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County. We prefer that you do, actually. So whoever that was, you're not in trouble. Come see us.
We have a gun safety class we put on every other Saturday. And if you take that, you'll shoot a lot better, and hopefully you'll save the taxpayers money.
It's kind of savage. First off, the fact that he goes, whoever that was, come, bro, don't you know the home that it happened in? When you know who it was, sounds like your detective department might need some upgrades, first off.
We're not mad at you.
We're not mad at you.
Come on in. We actually prefer that you shoot him.
I guess if you're a police department and you're like, yo, fuck it, it's less paperwork if you just kill this guy because he broke into your house. Dead men tell no tales, right? Which, fucking.
But it's so on brand with Florida.
Oh, man, yeah, right? Like, Florida as fuck. It's
now, good. I will say this, because there's sometimes people will be like thinking that like Florida's like extra fucked up. Like, it's not. Like, people are not dying over here and getting shot and all that shit, right? Like, it's not happening. However, there is that, that's almost that old Southern, I don't want to say rule, but there is this old Southern ideology so in this case, somebody enter your house.
This is as South as you could get. Yep. And so the native Floridians have been here, you know, and have generations that have been here versus most of the transplants that came in the last, 20, 30 years aren't necessarily, quote unquote from here. Yep. But, and so I know Florida has a lot of transplants, but yeah, to your point, this is the deep, deep South, man. Like, we still got some
don't get it twisted
fucked up habits over here. Yeah.
We got gators that show up to your door.
And we got cops that'll encourage you to kill. You call 911, they're like, well, did you shoot him?
God damn it, why not?
Yeah, yeah. Are we showing up at the corner or are we showing up at the Bobo still in full gear? Like, what do you want? Like, did you take matters into your own hands first? It takes a lot to encourage, I guess, your citizens. You do want to encourage your citizens to defend themselves. But I think if you're in a county like that, it can also wreak chaos and havoc. And, if you get people who start to get a little too vigilante and
But you see the video with Trump? So Trump had, he visited like a bodega in New York. And it was a bodega where a guy had, let me get this right, a guy had killed, so somebody came in to rob him and kind of cornered the owner, and then the owner stabbed him. And then the owner's on trial for killing the guy.
Murder?
But it really like in self-defense.
Okay.
But in the video, Trump goes into this bodega and he's just like, oh, like you're the owner? And the guy was like, yeah, we have a lot of robberies in here and stuff like that. He's like, do you have a gun? And maybe you should.
Maybe you should.
Yeah.
Not
but,
wrong.
You know, the gun laws in New York are really...
it's hard.
They're tight.
It's damn near impossible to have a gun.
Yeah, it's tight.
It's really difficult. It's funny, man. I go to a place not too far from me here where they only take cash because of where they are because of that.
Really?
Like, if they get robbed, there's nothing to take. And so...
So why do they want cash?
No, sorry. They don't take cash. They only take cards. And I was talking to the guy who worked there, and he said they got robbed so often that they just cut it off. They're just like, sorry, we don't even carry cash. And they have a big sign on their door when you go in, like,
wow,
cashless. You can only pay with a card. And it was because of that. He said they got robbed so much.
Yeah.
Because it's in a downtown area that, especially the big homeless population, that they were just kind of like, yeah, let's just make cards only. Most people have cards.
I was going to say, so they live in an area where people mostly are paying with cards anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think in general, most of us pay with cards anyway.
Dude, that's not, still that, you know what? People, you know what's man? Funny, man? Like, I think that depends on where exactly you live. Because, dude, sometimes, man, like when I go back to New York, and if I'm in the areas like the Upper East Side of, Harlem, shit like that, man.
Or at the bodega.
People still pay with cash, man. A lot of people still pay with cash.
Yeah. Like you said, it's probably a regional thing with it. Some people are probably going like, card? I ain't got a card. Like, what are you talking about? This is probably a very Harlem thing.
Yeah, man. But I'm sure there's other,
Middle America. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure that's the case. But it was funny, like them telling me that. I remember reading it, and I don't know what sparked me asking the question, but I just remember asking them the question, like, oh, so you guys only take for cards or something. I don't know. You know me, I talk too much. And then it just turned into this whole discussion about how they got robbed all the time, and that's why they did the cards. And I was like, oh, it's fascinating. I hadn't really thought about that aspect of it, but he was like, yeah, our other locations in certain areas don't, but the two downtown are cashless because of that. I was like, oh, makes sense.
Somebody comes in there and goes, give me your money. You're like, I don't have nothing.
Yeah, I don't have it. And it's posted on the door. So we're going to go rob it. Hopefully.
What kind of store is this?
It's a food. It's a taco place.
Oh,
called,
shit.
Actually, it's called Gringos Locos. I'll just throw it out there. Don't rob them. They ain't got no cash.
You're like, you want to rob them, you might get a taco.
And the food's banging. So go eat if you're in Orlando. Gringos, the first one's free. The first endorsement's free. But yeah, the food is phenomenal. But yeah, they're cashless in these locations specifically.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Because of that, because they get robbed. So it's kind of wild, man.
I said, tell me about this police academy.
Yo, this dude went to the police academy. I got to get this guy's name. But it was in Nevada. So this guy graduated from the police academy, and he went out to celebrate that night, the graduation. Obviously, something to be proud of. Yep. The stuff, but then he gets arrested by his own precinct, the one that he would be working for a DUI.
Oh, dude, that's fucked.
You imagine, bro, graduating from police academy and getting arrested that night. I'm trying to find.
Dude, I don't know. You know what? In certain fields, you can't have a DUI, and I wonder if being a cop is one of them. I don't know that to be true, but like I remember,
bro. Let me tell you right now, they'd run out of cops. I don't know a single cop that doesn't have a DUI close to. Yeah, fuck. They'd run out of cops. I think they're pretty lax on anything with cops now. Drugs, drinking, all of it. They're just like, fuck it.
Dude, because there's certain, I know like truck drivers.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
You'll lose your Class A license.
Yeah.
I know it was that way. I don't know if it's still that way, so I don't want to speak out of turn, but I know there was a time when, I knew this guy that got a DUI, and he was a truck driver, and he lost his Class A license, and then so essentially lost his job.
That's crazy, man. That sucks.
And he was making, at the time, and this is probably, fuck, man, this is probably like late 90s, early 2000s, and he was making like 80 grand a year.
Well, back then you were balling.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And he lost his job.
What? Yeah. I mean, fuck, man. I it's funny, man. Those are moments. Things that I could argue both sides of that. It's fucking just sucks to see people losing their
livelihood. Leave your livelihood. Like
that sucks, man. But yeah, this guy, and I left out, he was also a former pitcher. Jason Bradford is his name. He was a former major league pitcher, man.
Oh, MLB.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Major league pitcher, and then gets arrested for DUI by his own department after he graduates from the
that
academy.
That sucks, bro.
Do you let him come on Monday?
I guess it depends on what the rules are, right?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know.
We wouldn't have cops, bro, if you... Yeah. I don't know a fucking cop.
They need to drink.
Everything.
Bro, the way that you and I both know cops, you know, in our personal lives.
Yep.
And it's like the shit that they have to deal with, man, if you can't have a drink, and obviously DUI is different. I don't condone DUIs in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
But sometimes you fuck up.
But yeah, I was gonna say, but if that's your criteria, you're gonna have a tough time, and maybe there's some programs or whatever you should put in place, because you're also, this is also a very stressful job that leads to people drinking.
Correct.
All that. Yeah. So, I thought it was funny when I first saw it. I was like, damn, man, you get arrested by your own police department like that. And then I started thinking about it more and more. It's fucked up, but it was funny. Almost as fucked up as Kanye West yelling at motherfuckers in Mario's voice. Did you hear this? He's getting, bro.
Okay, hold on.
His employees say that he threatens them, but he speaks like Super Mario when he threatens
them. He has employees?
I guess maybe they
What do they do?
Fucking work for him at his shoe, or maybe they're what do you call it, personal assistants. But they say when he threatens them while speaking in a Mario voice,
like Mario Brothers,
like Super Mario Brothers. Yeah. Can you imagine fucking Kanye West, bro? And what does Mario even sound like, bro? like, it's a me, Mario. But he would have to be like, he'd have to say some wild shit. It's a me, you Kanye. You were fired for being stupid. The slides don't match. He'd just be like, what?
Let's go.
I'm trying to think of what the fuck he's mad about if you're Kanye.
Bro, what? That guy, man. And I don't even, how does this shit make the fucking news, man?
Bro, we're that bored. We're that bored, we're that comfortable, we're that set that we're like, oh, what's popular today? And it'll be like Kanye West and his chick walk outside in a stocking and then it's news, bro. You see, his wife doesn't wear clothes for some reason. I'm sure it's by design by him. And because we're talking about her.
Yeah, that's probably. But
she wears like condoms and pantyhose out as outfits. It's just the weirdest fucking thing ever, bro. I don't know. She just never covered up.
And he is not, right? He's not running for president this year.
I don't think so, right?
We think that that's the case.
Yeah, I think that's the case because you're right. He ran the other year, right?
Yep.
I think it's still Biden, Trump. And RFK?
And whoever else and whoever is in the else. Other
Dude, podcast. You brought up a great point before. I'd never considered this, that this is the first time that we know, like, we don't need debates and all that because we're voting for people who we've already seen run office and we know what they're like.
Bro, this is the first time, bro. This is the first time in I think, in history. I could be wrong, man. You guys could correct me if I'm wrong. But, yeah, like, we've seen Biden. We've seen Trump. You know what you're getting.
We have the on the job, yeah.
Dude, there's no need for fucking debates. There's no need. I don't want to see them in debates. I don't want to see them anything. Like, you should already know who you want.
Nah, I want to see them pass an EKG. You score.
I want to see Biden's fingerprints. Yeah, make sure he's not really dead.
I'm like, nah, homie. We're just gonna put you. Yeah, fuck. I was gonna know that you can be conscious for the next 4 years.
Yeah, what a time. It's like, yo. Do you want? You know, if you're happy with the way things are going now, then you probably know who you're voting for,
right?
And if you're not, then you're probably voting for the other guy.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, you want to make it up to someone whose uncle may or may not have been killed by our government, you vote for a different guy.
Yo, and on that, tell them where they can find us.
Yo, at The Carbon Fiber Podcast on IG, The Carbon Fiber Podcast on YouTube, Facebook, at Carbon FP Pod, and then on TikTok, and then at Carbon FP Pod on X/Twitter, whatever you want to call it now, and then all your favorite audio platforms, Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the big ones, and then Jio7 Ghana, and those in India. So hit us up. Let us know what you think. Give some Drake recommendations. Give some reviews. We love the text messages. I know you got some messages this week about the episode last week, episode. Which, yep. To be candid, I was not expecting any at all about this one. And it's always cool to see. You just don't know what people sort of resonates or what sort of triggers and all that. And so it's always cool to see, like, I think we're both especially hard on ourselves about the pod.
Yeah,
and absolutely. So when you do get messages from people and they talk about something that you didn't think mattered at all, going back, you know, to take this full circle, what we were talking about before, you just never know what the thing is that people sort of like that resonates with them. So shout out to you guys, man. Thank you guys. Keep the messages coming, man. We really do appreciate those. We read them. We talk about them. We exchange them. We do that stuff. So yeah, keep them coming.
Absolutely. And as always, we appreciate you guys. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Hey. Bye.